The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
In July of 1961, 38 members of the Green Bay Packers football team got together for the first day of training camp, and the previous season they had a crushing defeat by the Philadelphia Eagles, and so it's training camp. And Vince Lombardi, very famously, you know, he kind of had a tradition of starting from scratch and continually getting his team back to the basics. And they say that the summer of 61, he walked in and he held up a football and he said, "Gentlemen, this is a football. So basic. That is a goalpost." And just kept him at the basics and kept over and over going over the fundamentals. And 6 months later, the Green Bay Packers beat the New York Giants 37-0, and they won the NFL championship. Well, I welcome you to Exploring the Word. And Bert and I today are going to talk about some of the basics, some points to ponder to stay on point. And we're going to look at a couple of scriptures, one from the Old Testament, one from the New. But Bert, you're much more sports-oriented than I. But whether it's business, sports, and yeah, the Christian life, how important are the fundamentals, the basics?
Well, you were given an illustration of one of the greatest, if not the greatest coach of all time in NFL. Let me go back to the greatest college coach, John Wooden.
He was a
godly believer, follower of Christ.
UCLA.
Yes, and they won more championships during his time and his tenure. But every season when the new recruits would come in, he would teach them and train those that were remaining. He'd start off by saying nearly the same thing Vince Lombardi did. He'd say, "This is how you put on your socks. This is how you tie your shoe." Going back to the very basics, we would call them foundational truths. This is so basic in everything, in every sports. You and I are both farm boys, Alex, and
true.
We raised on the farm. And my dad taught me. I didn't follow through with it and become a farmer. But you know, you got to till the ground. You've got to prepare the ground. You've got to know what to put. You've got to rotate your crops. If you keep putting the same crop in the same field all the time, you'll have some issues that come up. Now, I know because of modern day fertilizer and all the things that going on, that's not as quite as important as it was. But those were foundational truths over in the Old Testament when the Father told the children to go and occupy the land and give the land rest at a certain time. So the basics are true in sports. It's true in farming. Can we say it's truth in those who follow Christ?
I think it is. I think it is. And, you know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, who hands down the greatest Christian that ever lived, really. But Paul said, "Not that I have apprehended, but I press on." See, even the Apostle Paul that won thousands to Christ and hundreds of millions would ultimately become saved due to the life of the Apostle Paul, wrote more than half of the New Testament, saw the risen Jesus. And I mean, my goodness, Paul's life as a Christian is just beyond description. And yet, I get the idea Paul continually was taking his own heart back to the basics. Christ is risen. I'm his bond slave. I'm his servant. He's my master. I count it all joy when you fall into various diverse temptations. And so what I want to do today, in the spirit of staying on point, because we don't forget the foundational, the core things, I want to first read Judges 2, verse 10. But Bert, I would surmise there's probably some folks listening that could use maybe a little bit of encouragement.
I agree.
You know, and we could use a little bit of pep and uplift about now. And
we could. And I, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, and, you know, sometimes it's a down day. You know, family's left, and or you didn't get to see your family, so it's a down day. So yeah, I think you're exactly right. And speaking of that, it's usually a fire away Friday, but today, because of it being the day after Thanksgiving, Alex and I are not in the studio to take those questions, so we're pre-recording this. But Alex, I think you're exactly right. We do need some encouragement in these days.
Exactly. And I'm going to look at Judges 2:10, and I want to ask a question, but let me read this. And we know, oh my goodness, the story of Genesis and the call of Abraham and ultimately Joseph and his brothers, and Joseph saved the world, and Pharaoh kind of deputized Joseph, and whatever he says, do it. And, you know, then Joseph died, and as the tides of time ebb and flow, ever more generations come along. And here in our own nation, goodness, I think not only do we always have to evangelize and reach the upcoming generations for Christ, I think it's also prudent and vitally important that the young people coming up always know what America is and our nation. But Judges 2 verse 10 says, all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. In other words, the older leaders died off. And there arose another generation after them that did not know the Lord, nor yet the work that he had done for Israel. Okay, in Judges 2:10, much like our own era, folks, very tenuous, potentially dangerous moment when the leaders that did know the Lord and all the work that God had done and our responsibility before the Lord, that generation dies off, and there arises another generation that doesn't know the Lord and doesn't know the work God has done. That's a critical moment, isn't it, Bert?
It is, and Bruce Wilkinson, a great, great author, Prayer of Jabez, but he wrote other books as well, but he wrote one, and it really caused me to look at this, and it's all throughout the Bible. And he talked about the three chairs. I call it generational slide. There's a tendency. Notice what you just said. You introduced us to Joshua, who followed the Lord. He and Caleb, it said about them, they wholly followed the Lord completely. And then they shared it with the second generation. And that's the one that you're talking about, going to the fathers, that second generation after Joshua, because Joshua and Caleb were the only ones of their generation. The rest of them had died. So this is the second generation. And what happens to the third generation? They've kind of forgotten God. It's not a principle, it's not a truth, but it's a tendency for that to happen, Alex. Think about David, who would serve God with a whole heart. Solomon, half heart, you know what I mean? Because he'd go in and out. You know, I think he came back to the Lord wisely, but yet his service was intermittent.
He vacillated.
Yeah. And then who would follow him? His son Rehoboam, who had no heart. That is not just every so often. That's pretty often throughout the scriptures. And I remember, you know, hearing about Harvard and Yale and Princeton when I studied in church history, especially in America, how those were bastions of biblical truth and faith, teaching missionaries and preachers to go out and to share the gospel and the whole counsel of God. And look at the slide they are in now. And I remember one of your mentors, Jerry Falwell, saying, if Liberty University goes the way that most universities go that are started by Christians, they'll drift away. And so you have to fight against the drift, Alex.
Mm-hmm. You really do. Well said. Well said. So what we're going to do is give some fundamentals, some basics that I really think we all need to keep before our mind and our attention. And yes, we want to influence others, and I hope that you are committed to be a witness and to be salt and light. But before I can make a mark for Jesus, I need to attend to the state of my own heart as well. And so to stand against that generation that didn't know the Lord, or stand against the ignorance of God and stand for the truth of God, these are some points to remember to keep us on point, but I think also to keep us encouraged. And I'm going to begin with this. Remember who God is. And what I want to do is a principle and a word that summarizes it. And now don't let this word scare you, but it's the word theology. T-H-E-O-S, theos, means God. Bert, I really think the starting point of encouragement and faithfulness and keeping your tank full, you got to remember who God is. And I praise the Lord. Well, I praise the Lord that God is and who God is and that we can know who the Lord is. I mean, isn't that just one of the greatest blessings of life?
It is. And I know it's a cliche. God is and we can know him. That is, Alex, just think, God is. He does exist. Get your theology right. Don't let agnostics or atheists or anything pull you away from that truth. How many, and I heard a story just yesterday about a young man that was raised in church and was on mission trips and you know, given to the things of the Lord and wanted to follow him. And he went away to a university, and those professors, and I call them false teachers. They are. We think only false teachers in the church. No, there's false teachers out in the world, especially in the education system. They started teaching, the Bible's not reliable. We don't know. It has man put it together for a purpose. They had an agenda. And that young man has stopped, you know, following the Lord at this time, whether it was real or not, we don't know. Only God knows. But in other words, they tried to do away. One of the greatest things Sunday school teachers and youth leaders and pastors can do is equip their young people, those young in the faith, in a theology of a biblical worldview. And Alex, what you do for, quote, a living apologist and helping these to give them an answer. The answers are there. You don't have to believe that professor that says God does not exist. You don't have to believe that professor that says the writings of Mao is as important as the writings of Paul. You don't have to believe that. You don't believe that because you've been grounded in the word of truth. Now, everybody's got to stand truth. You know what I mean? But we as teachers and preachers, pastors, we need to really give them everything we can to them. If they face that in college, Alex, that we give them material so they can stand against it.
Amen. Amen. You know, I got a memo this morning from Josh McDowell. And folks, I'm not trying to be doom and gloom, but I do think we need to be realistic. And Josh McDowell says, unless there's a shift in teaching Bible truth, biblical worldview, Josh says in the next 30 years that 35 to 40 million youth raised in Christian families will disaffiliate from the faith by 2050. And I used to work with a wonderful brother at Focus on the Family. We did a lot of work together, Greg Steer. Greg, S-T-I-E-R, he's in Colorado, but he's all over the country. Greg Steer said this, that our youth ministry must be gospel advancing and disciple making.
Amen.
Now listen to this. Youth ministry is not just about meetings, but mission. Listen, young people are longing for a cause that matters, so they need to be equipped, and youth leaders need to be equipped to equip them. There has to be more than fun, pizza, and a 10-minute lesson.
Amen. And let me add this. If you need help in that, Alex has some great material. Your website is alexmcfarland.com, isn't it?
It is. And by the way, you and I are working on a book. Bert and I are going to have a book coming out next year, and I'm thinking you and I need to put all these hundreds of questions and answers on an app.
I'm telling you, fire away at Bert and Alex. That's right. But go to alexmcfarland.com, and some of those books are available to help your young person and help you have answers that you really need.
This is Pause to Pray. A chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Mark Milley, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. General Milley is the highest-ranking military officer in the United States Armed Forces. Exodus 18:21 reminds us of the qualities of a good leader. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, We ask for guidance for General Mark Milley. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Winning spiritual victories requires supernatural help. But Dr. Tony Evans says that kind of help can be hard to come by if we don't have the right relationship with its source. He'll explain as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You will not overcome whatever you're needing to overcome if you are a secret agent Christian. If you're a covert operative, forget overcoming. Because Jesus Christ is not trying to help folk to overcome who are embarrassed to be associated with him. He says, you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, Matthew 10. You confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. Don't be calling on me for overcoming in your life when you don't want to be associated with me. Folk running around here talking about who they voting for. They got stuff on their car, stuff in their lawn, you know. People will talk about it at work, they'll talk about it at play, they'll talk about it at sports. We got folk going public protesting. We got players getting on their knees, letting them know where they stand. We got everybody declaring what they believe in, who they believe in, even if they're not worth believing in it, because they're making their declaration. And you're going to tell me he was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was on his shoulders. By his stripes, you are healed, and you can't identify with the risen Christ.
If you believe Jesus is the Savior, isn't it time to make him your Savior? To find out how that happens, visit TonyEvans.org and click on the link at the top that says Jesus. Then join us next time for 2 minutes with Tony.
We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life.
Amen. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. The day after Thanksgiving, we hope you had a good day. For those of you that or alone, that's not usually alone. We're thankful that the radio could be a friend to you, especially Exploring the Word. Alex and myself consider it such a privilege, and we give thanks to God for the privilege we have of connecting with you today, no matter where you are. Mm-hmm. You may have gotten in your truck and had to leave family and go on the road, and you may be listening there. You may had to come into the office. You may be on your way to work because you're in retail, and today is a big day, and you're headed home now, or you're headed for the third shift to make those sales. Or we don't know what you are, but we're praying that you have a good day today. And in order to do that, Alex and I, we're looking at it. We don't want to forget God. We don't want those who follow us to not know God. So we want to put this emphasis on points to remember to keep us on point. And let me add that others may follow, Alex. If we stay on point and we're headed in the right directions, others will follow.
Amen. I want to read a quote. There was a man at Wheaton College. He's in heaven now. His name was Robert Weber, and he was very influential in the life of Josh McDowell, who's been influential in a whole lot of lives. But Robert Weber tried to, you know, remind his students of our purpose. Here's what he said. Now listen to this. And this was one of the last books Weber did before he passed away. But he said, quote, "The church in this period of history, between the cross and the return of Christ, witnesses to an accomplished fact. It witnesses to the reign of Christ over all creation and lives in the hope of its final realization in the second coming of Jesus. The church is to call all people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to a life of obedient discipleship under his reign in their lives." Now, that's a pretty good summation of what we're all about, isn't it?
It is. And you know, Paul knew that, and that's why he would write to Timothy, and he said, "Those things have I taught to you, Timothy. You continue to share it with faithful men who will serve and share it with others. If you look at that over in Timothy, you'll find out that's four generations. Notice what, if you were listening in the opening, I talked about the idea of the third generation kind of growing weak. Joshua and then the fathers that we talked about here in Judges 2:10. But the third generation, another generation, they did not catch on. And that is a tendency. And what Paul was trying to do to Timothy, he said, Timothy, I'm encouraging you with passion, with principle and promise. Pass what you have on. Do you remember the song? Now, this came about when I was a young person, and youth musicals were not head of, but in my day, they started coming out. Not that I could sing, but they'd let me stand up there with them, Alex, and I'd be in the musical. But there was a song, It Only Takes a Spark to Get a Fire Going.
And I played guitar and sang
okay,
that.
Okay, it's yeah. old, and, you know, pass it on. That's what we're to do, and I don't care what it is. And I just want to say a word for grandparents. Grandparents who are listening, you've got an amazing position to pass it on, not just to your children, your grandchildren. Those grandchildren, especially in their early years, Alex, man, they listen to their grandparents. Jan and I have five grandchildren, and we've done everything we can when they're with us. We wanted them to know the Lord Jesus. Yes, we have fun, and I ride them on my shoulders, and I do all that. But we're also sharing, listen, God loves you. God's got a purpose for your life. We had our two of our grandsons on with us. They'd learned the Ten Commandments, and they shared them on this program. Put the Word of God in it. Don't just say, oh, my children are already gone. Listen, if they are and they bring those grandchildren, share the and demonstrate it. First, it's got to be, honestly, it needs to be seen. Alex, let's make that point. Not Amen. Just thinking straight. You remember over there, and I know I'm taking time, and I'm going to pass it back to you, but when Peter was talking about growing in the Lord, you know, the first thing that you're to add to your faith is not knowledge. It's virtue. Virtue.
Amen, brother.
And that That's virtue good. Is demonstrated in life. Have you ever heard your life speak so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying? That is a life without virtue. And so live it. Let Christ come in, the Holy Spirit guide you, and live this life that God's given us with vigor and zeal and passion. Live life and live it to the fullest, serving Him, Alex.
Well, that relates to the second thing we need to remember, which is remember who I am in my relationship with Christ. To points to keep us on point. Number one, remember who God is. That's theology. This, remember who I am in Christ. That's identity. And I know this might sound a little abstract, perhaps, but a lot of where Christians, as we say, get sideways, or where Christians go wrong, or get out into the weeds, as the old preachers would say, they forget who they are. Bert, isn't it fair to say there's a lot that a Christian should be and should pursue because it is who they are? There's a lot that a Christian needs to avoid and not do because that's just not in step with our identity.
Amen,
right?
Alex. You know what? Paul would say that, put off the old and put on the new. He talks about that, the old man and the new man. He talks about the old clothes and the new clothes. Jesus talked about how do you put new wine in old wineskins. Our identity is Christ. Our identity is the Spirit of God living in us. And we need to remember that. That's who I am. God's given me everything I need for life and godliness in this present world, Alex. God has equipped me. I just got to use the equipment, don't I?
Exactly. I mean, you know, we began with a football illustration. If you're a football player, you don't need to show up with a glove and a bat because that's a different game, you know? So, Bert, I just about a week ago counseled with a man, and he very tearfully, very repentantly came back to Christ. But I hadn't seen this guy in about 6 or 8 months. And he told me that he is saved, and I think he's really had a wake-up call, but he lost his job because of a drug test that he failed. And he said, I was ashamed to come see you. And we had some hard conversations, but he prayed, and for, you know, the last month or so, he's tried to walk, you know, with the Lord and stay with the Lord. But let me tell you, folks, if you forget your identity and you compromise your choices and your behaviors, there's a price to pay. Witness Lee was a Chinese Christian leader. He lived from 1905 to 1997. And Witness Lee said this, now listen to this quote, and it relates to our identity and who we are in Jesus. Lee said, quote, "The whole world as a satanic system lies in the grip of the evil one. Not loving such a world is the ground for overcoming the world and the evil one. Loving this world just a little gives the evil one the ground to defeat and occupy us." Mm. Now, let me say, Chinese Christians, they know something about sacrifice. And they know something about, you know, quite literally laying their lives down on the line for their relationship to Jesus. And see, you cannot give Satan a foothold. I mean, you just can't. Even if it's in your emotions like unforgiveness or ingratitude or materialism, or, you know, we are, on the one hand, we are free in Christ and we have been set free. But on the other hand, we need to consistently, I would say vigilantly, keep watch over the state of our heart and remember who we are.
Amen.
Who we really are, our identity in our relationship with Christ.
Well, the scriptures say, guard your heart. Now, when you guard your heart, you're careful what you let come in. And you let things in. It's a sieve. It's a strainer. You strain the things that you let in. There are certain things you don't need to let in your life. You don't need to bring it about. Now, the temptation may come, but I want to tell you, you can overcome that temptation. And so you don't entertain the temptation. You dismiss it, and you dismiss it quickly. You don't examine it and entertain it. And so guard your heart. It helps you keep your identity. And it is the old, put off the old, put on the new. It is not just the power of positive thinking. You know, it's more than that. But it's also not just don't run around with those that chew and drink. Yeah, I don't do that. It's not just not doing those things. It's the balance of not doing and doing, Alex. It's who I am. That's my being. But also because of my being, it's what I do. The doing doesn't save you, but it helps you in your identity. It helps you in your discipleship as you serve the Lord.
Well, amen. Amen. So we're talking about God and our identity in God. Then thirdly, let's talk about mission. Remember what our assignment is as a disciple. And our assignment, you know, like Josh McDowell said, we gave that quote by Robert Weber, but Josh McDowell said, here's our assignment. We are to tell people of the God that they currently do not know.
Wow.
I mean, that's it, isn't it?
It is. Matter of fact, let me give a promotion. This is the Friday before the weekend, you know, following Thanksgiving, you know. And this weekend, Nathan, on Exploring Missions, we're going to do a program concerning Thanksgiving for missionaries, for those men and women who gave their lives, who served Christ by taking Christ to another world. You was talking about China. Praise the Lord for Hudson Taylor. Praise the Lord for Bertha Smith. Praise the Lord for Lottie Moon. And many more that would give their lives to the Chinese people there, that they would know the Lord. And then when they were driven out, guess what? They still had the foundation. You're just talking about getting back to the basics. They had the basics. And guess what happened after the missionaries were driven out? The church still grew. They still discipled. They still shared. So, Alex, I would say you've got these foundations are laid, are these things, these points that you're telling us about, are to be built upon. Isn't that what it is when you remember your assignment? You're building on what you have. You don't just let it stay there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you always have to build on it. And that's one of the beautiful things about Christianity, our mission, our identity in Christ. Bert, you know, I've been with men that retire. And in the irony, a lot of people, they want to retire, but then once they do, there's kind of a time of depression. Look, none of us, whether you're a mom raising kids, or whether you're an athlete on a sports team, or you're a leader in a business, or maybe a pastor in a church or whatever. Look, not a one of us wants to feel useless. I mean, I think that's one of the worst tortures, to think that we no longer matter or have significance. And one of the beautiful things, and I promise you folks, this is not just smoke and mirrors. I mean, this is biblical reality. In Jesus, as a worshiper of the true and living God, as a growing, alive disciple, and yes, as a witness for Christ, as long as you're in the land of the living, you do have purpose. Maybe you're even debilitated in a hospital bed, and I'm sorry for that, but you can still pray. And Bert, I firmly believe with all my heart, when we get to heaven, we are going to find out that the growth of the church and the salvation of lost souls and all the good of this world was overwhelmingly driven and fueled by prayer.
Amen. I want to give you about remembering your assignment. I had a pastor friend, Erastus Hall. My first church was at a mission, Clark Street Mission in New Albany, Mississippi. I was a mission off of the First Baptist Church in New Albany there. And Brother Hall retired from full-time pastoring, and he moved, and he would visit our mission, and he would tell me different things. He really was a blessing to me, as he would encourage me, and his mind was slipping, and he said, I just can't teach and preach the way I did, and I had to step down, but he said, I'm still serving. He had to go to a nursing facility, and his health grew worse and worse, but as he was dying, guess what he was uttering? The benediction. It was like he was at church and he was praying. He said, Lord, as we leave here, bless us. As we follow up with you, may you bless us as we go to our places. He was praying the benediction. You know, staying faithful. How long, Alex? To the end. The assignment may be changing a little bit, you know, but yes. Your ultimate assignment is to glorify God no matter what stage of life you're in.
Well, remember God, remember your identity, remember your mission, and fourthly, remember your resources. Remember what God has equipped you with for this calling. And Bert, I mean, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and I've got to say, I think one of the most neglected resources in our toolkit is, yes, the Bible. D.L. Moody, I love D.L. Moody from the 19th century, but he said, I never saw a useful Christian who was not a student of the Bible. And I've got to say, among our resources, the leading of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the body of Christ to encourage us and help us not only stay up, but stay accountable. And the people around us, chances are, friend, there are at least one or two or three Christians in your life that if you let them, will be just a mentor, an influence, an encouragement. I've got some in my life. I'm talking to one of them right now, Bert Harper, a role model, somebody I look up to, somebody who keeps me upbeat a lot of times, and Josh McDowell and Angie. Goodness gracious, I think probably the most consistent Christian I've ever known is Angie, my wife. But here's the thing, Bert, not only do we have the resource of the body of Christ around us, sometimes we're supposed to be that in somebody else's life too.
Amen, Alex. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. The Bible, think about it. How generation after generation is given to us. Think about all those men that gave their life, translating it into a language that we could understand. Mm. We are blessed beyond measure. Remember our resources, the Holy Spirit, yes, and the Spirit of God that will guide us in His Word. We'll be back with more right after this break.
Friendships is offering an extraordinary opportunity to young men and women who want to grow in their walk with God, learn relief missions, experience the mission field, and become physically fit. Sound like something you'd be interested in? Learn more about Seahawks' one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins January 11th.
Hello, I'm Gary Roby, host of Call to Worship, heard each Sunday on American Family Radio. This one-hour program will lead you in a special time of worship and praise. We will focus on God's Word, spoken and in music. Call to Worship has a different topic each week as we glorify God together. Be sure to join us at 5 a.m. Central each Sunday for a Call to Worship right here on American Family Radio.
And who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Esther, a young girl, became queen of the Persian Empire when Israel was subject to Persian rule. A wicked man named Haman tried to get the king to exterminate all Jews. Esther, a Jew herself, was queen when this genocidal conspiracy was brought to bear, but her uncle Mordecai put her royal position in perspective. Perhaps God made you queen just for this very moment, to intervene on behalf of the Jewish people. Like Esther, perhaps God gave you the platform, position, and influence you have for this very moment, to stand against darkness. Perhaps you were born for such a time as this.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments can lead to a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and other penalties, and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring, but one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Let me go down, down, down.
There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be filled by any created thing. A God-shaped hole, a vacuum, an empty spot in the heart of every person that can't be filled with any created thing. That was said by Blaise Pascal, the French mathematician, philosopher, and yes, Christian apologist. And, you know, with that quote, I welcome you back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here with Bert Harper. And by the way, you can go on the website, AFR, as in AmericanFamilyRadio.net, and you can listen to pre-records. There's all kinds of great programming, and all the Exploring the Word shows are archived there. And if you want to forward this on to somebody, we'd love for you to do that. There's an American Family Radio app as well. And hey, let me say one last thing before we get back to the points to remember to keep us on point. Bert, every summer I have the privilege of going to the Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove, and I'm going to be there June 25 through 27 of 2021. And we're going to go through the book of Acts, and we're going to look at the principles of revival, spiritual awakening in our times, principles of awakening and revival through the book of Acts. And the website is thecove.org, C-O-V-E, thecove.org. And, you know, that now is a time, I know that's many months away, but might be a Christmas present or something to give somebody a trip to the Cove next June 25 to 27, and I'd love to meet you all there.
Alex, when I hear you doing the study of the book of Acts, I love it. It's not really the Acts of the Apostles, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And teaching about the revival in the book of Acts is really, really important, because we see God making himself known and revealing himself again and again in the book of Acts as it moves. And that's the power of the gospel. And it brings renewal. to those that were, you know, didn't had known but had grown lax. But it also brings awareness, newness of heart. So, man, if you can go study the Book of Acts with Alex at the Cove, let me see. That's three reasons: Acts, the Cove, and Alex. That's a good deal. So I hope they do that.
Well, folks, we've been talking about remembering who God is, remembering my relationship with Christ, remembering what our mission is, remembering our resources that God has equipped us with. And finally, let me give you two or three other thoughts. Remember the promises of God. All right, God has given us His Word, and He is totally trustworthy. And Bert, when times are tough, or when we need a little bit of extra fuel in the tank, shall we say, don't you love to reflect on the promises of God? And God, who cannot lie, has made us so many promises. We could delineate so many of them. But folks, God's promises are true and trustworthy, aren't they?
They are. And that's the reason I believe in what I call life verses. I hear people talk about their life verse. I haven't been able to do that because I have more than one. And one of them is from Philippians 1:6. And I just love this verse, and it speaks clearly to me. And I know it will be speaking clearly to you. And it talks about being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Alex, that's the promise I stand on. God is not through with me. He's still working on me. He's going to complete it in the day. And so there's all kinds of promises. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you always to the end of the age. You know, there's so many promises there. But let me encourage people to find one, at least one, but maybe a half a dozen. I think mine's right at a half a dozen life verses that God has just laid on my heart to say, Bert, these are verses for you to remember in the most difficult times of your life. And so those promises, Alex, they're real. They're real. And we stand on them.
2 Peter 1:4, He's given us exceeding great and precious promises. And we need to remember those things frequently, frequently. And I would say this, remember, these are the basics, folks, not only God's promises, but remember community. The church. Now, I know the word community is thrown around in some kind of really unbiblical ways, and sometimes socialists use the word community, and they use that as a buzzword to try to talk about globalism and things like that. But no, I'm talking about what the real community is, the family of God. Remember, and this is so exciting, God has placed us within the most unique family in the world to make the most important change possible in the world, and we are part of the church. You know, whenever I'm on a show or being interviewed, and sometimes I'll be on a panel, and people that are secular can be very dismissive of the church. But the church does so much good. I mean, fundamentally, primarily, we preach the gospel. We worship the Lord. We point people to the true and living Savior. And Bert, I know the church does a lot of benevolence. In many a city, there's a food pantry or a clothes closet. The church does a lot of good. But I want to tell you, one of the great blessings of the body of Christ and the local church is socialization. And I think about how many older people, and maybe one of their spouses, you know, their spouses died or some of their family members have passed on. I think about the incredible emptiness that would be created if there weren't this church, which is such a family and a community of socialization. From the very beginning, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. And I thank God. And maybe, friend, you need to once again commit yourself to this beautiful, loving, wonderful community for people in every stage of life, this thing called the church.
Amen. Matter of fact, when you talk about it, it is hard to completely describe. So the Bible uses several titles: community, family, body, the body of Christ, a building, you know, with a foundation and building on it, even a holy nation. Every one of those is part of that, is referring to this community we call church. The word church means called out ones in the Greek. They called it an assembly, an assembly of called out ones. We've been called out to get together. Alex, get that together. You know, we're called out of the world to get together with one another, to build one another up. Now, here's what we don't do. We don't spend all the time in the huddle. We've used some sports illustrations in these programs before. You don't go to a football game to watch them in the huddle. Matter of fact, with the modern-day football, a lot of times they don't huddle. They go straight to the line. And this hurry-up offense that you'll see on many teams, you know, they don't even huddle because nobody cares to watch the huddle. Nobody goes away. Did you see how they huddled? Did you see how quick they huddled? No. What they want to do is see what they do after they huddle. But guess what? They need to get together. There needs to be a time of gathering together so that when you go out, you are effective. And most of the time when he sent them out, Alex, he sent them out two by two. And that is called what I call fellowship. And my professor, one of my professors at Blue Mountain College, James Travis, he said the best illustration of fellowship, he said, yeah, I can go back to the Greek word, but it's two fellows in the same ship.
That's good.
It's not just one, it's two. Have you noticed a canoe works a lot better when you have somebody in the front and someone in the back? The one that back one kind of steers it, yes, he's pushing it. But the one in the front, man, they can dig in and help it go faster and go right. So we do need community. Great, great thing, great point. So if you're not in a church, we want you to be. We have people call in all the time, Alex, and they'll say something about how they're feeling. And you or I, most of the time, one of us say, well, are you involved in a local church? Why do we say that?
Oh, well, we need to cherish the church. I mean, really. And, you know, the Bible says God hates divorce. One of the reasons is because, you know, marriage is such a beautiful picture of Christ and the church. But let me say this. We don't like it when churches split or have to go through hard times. And in your church, be a part of what's right and healthy.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Loving.
This is from two pastors, isn't it? I mean,
oh,
you know,
it is.
Don't those people that do that encourage you?
They really do, because I got to tell you, you know, there used to be gospel songs about going back to that little church or going back to that altar, back to Bethel, go back to that place where you were loved, where you were pointed toward Jesus, where you found Christ. The longer I live and I travel, and, you know, I've been so privileged to go to 2,300, it was 2,300 churches more than 2 years ago. And I want to tell you something, that community of believers where you can come in whatever, whosoever will may come, and you're brought into the family, church is so precious. Oh my goodness, we've been blessed as a nation to have so many churches. And be one who takes time to appreciate what the local church is. That's one of those things, and we're saying God gave us this community. Well, I want to give you a couple of other things. Remember God, remember your identity in Christ, remember your mission, remember the resources God's equipped you with, remember God's promises, great precious promises, remember the community of faith, your church, whatever it is. But finally, and Bert, I think this will keep us pepped up, and eyes on Christ, feet on the path, hand of the plow, heart made right to serve God. Remember our future. Listen, remember every Christian has a great tomorrow and a perfect forever. I want to tell you what the future is, folks. Regardless of how disturbing the news of the day might be, the news of the moment, here's what the future is. Psalm 22:27-28 speaks of an ultimate time when all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over all the nations. End of quote. Now, friend, there's going to be a day. Let me say that this is not universalism. Listen very carefully. There are people who reject what they know of God. Sadly, there are people that learn of Christ and turn away from Christ. That's unfortunate. But what Psalm 22 is saying is there is going to be a day when all the people that are alive will know Christ. And by that, I'm talking about the saved, because those that are lost are in a state of eternal death. There's going to be a day when, as Habakkuk says, the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. See, God is ushering in this eternal forever kingdom, and he wants you to be a part of it. And so isn't it, I think, an encouragement to think about the future of those that have received his free gift of salvation? And let me say this, you know, it seems like hard times, but these are the times in which we've been given. And God is with us. He really is. And so reflect on these things. Reflect and remember that you belong to the eternal Savior. And I think in these unshakable realities, there's great encouragement, Bert.
Amen. You remember, I'm trying to remember the author. When I say something, writing for the brand God has on you. You know,
yes.
Back in the West, we've used these illustrations about sports and everything, but out in the West, you had free range of the cattle. The only way to do it is to mark them, brand them. We live in a world that has gone mad, and God has branded us through the person of the Holy Spirit. He's given us the earnest of our inheritance in the Holy Spirit, and we need to ride for the brand, Alex. The brand is Christ Jesus, and that's our hope. And, you know, I was talking about a life verse, Philippians 1:6. Let me give you another one that's in Philippians. I love the book of Philippians. It's obvious. But according, and you're talking about, you know, our future. Listen to this, 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. This verse puts the present and the future into context. Right now, I have an expectation and hope of heaven. But while I'm living, I'm not going to bring shame to the brand of Jesus Christ he's put on my life. But Christ will be magnified in my body then, and whether I live or whether I die, it makes no difference. Paul's the one that said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Alex, that's the future. Future is serving the Lord and being confident that he's with you, but also future knowing that when I die, I'm going to be in his presence. That's a secure future, isn't it?
Well, it really is. It really is. And what I'm about to say, this might not sound all that enticing, but it really is. We are called to holiness. And you don't hear a lot about that nowadays, Bert. You don't hear a lot about sanctification, do you?
You do not.
H.B. London was a colleague and a friend at Focus on the Family. He's with the Lord. He was Dr. Dobson's cousin. And Dr. Dobson will be quick to tell you that one of the greatest Christians he ever knew was H.B. And H.B. was a pastor, and he influenced a lot of pastors. He was a great man of God. But H.B. London said that success in ministry and success for the Christian was to cultivate a God-permeated life, end of quote. Now, we could talk a lot about how one might go about cultivating a God-permeated life. But H.B. would say a big part of that is to pursue Jesus, pursue sanctification, pursue holiness. That's our calling, and I think it's an exciting thing to ponder and something that we can recommit ourselves to every single day.
It is. Stay on point. Don't do what they did in Judges chapter 2, verse 10. They did not know the God of their fathers. Listen, this faith was meant to pass on, and it was also meant to take up the baton and you run with it during your days here upon this earth. Alex, been good to look at this, brother.
Hey, it's been good to be with you, Bert. And folks, we thank you for listening. This is Exploring the Word on the American Family Radio Network. We want to encourage you in your walk and your witness. What you do for Christ counts. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain.